Well, our theme this Lenten season is Beneath the Cross. And here's a olive wood carving that has, I imagine it to be Mary, but who knows, beneath the cross, kind of holding Jesus' feet as he hangs on the cross, kind of a modern, simplistic in some ways, elements of the carving, but beautiful, beneath the cross, that we too find ourselves, if you will, beneath the cross of Jesus, that kind of the hope of this Lenten journey. Oops, fell down. Huh? It's fitting for this as Ash Wednesday because beneath the cross is a place where you look up and you realize Jesus is dying here. Death is close. That we are from dust to dust. That is our existence. And I think it also fits today beneath the cross too because we are going to put an ash cross on our forehead. And we are literally, symbolically, in its way, I guess, beneath that cross, this ash cross that we mark on our foreheads, that we find ourselves as people beneath the cross. I think it's also fitting because in this year, of course, it's the 500th anniversary of the Reformation that was, led by Martin Luther. And one of his key insights was what we call a theology of the cross. And by a theology of the cross, it doesn't mean you pick up the cross and you wonder, how do you get this thing to work? How do you get forgiveness out of it? Or how do you get this to make me feel better or something like that? No, theology of the cross really is his observation, looking into the world and realizing that even good and faithful Christians suffer. It doesn't always go right for us. There are troubles, there are things that go wrong for us, and that God is even, to take it a step further, even works through those at times. So the theology of the cross is recognizing that there is a suffering, a losing of life, in Jesus' words, that we might find life. And he put that observation, that thinking he had, in contrast to what was common, and that was a theology of glory. Now, a theology of glory really says, you know, through our faith and our good works and our you know, righteousness or what have you, that things should get better and better and better for us as Christians. The path is upward, and it's just going to all be wonderful and marvelous for us. And it's a part of our culture, that sort of thinking, that things should always be better and better for us. We really live in this American culture where it's kind of that way, isn't it? Where somehow things are just always supposed to improve, and, you know, it soaks into the church. You can find a church in this town, I have no doubt, that if you went there, they'd say, well, if you believe enough and have strong faith, God is going to prosper you and you're going to be financially successful. You can find that church. That's a big part of their message to you. And there are ministries going around for healing in our country that if you go there, and even though the doctors can't help you, they'll say, come to us, and I know through faith in God, you're going to get healed. And they're going to make you those kinds of promises. And how many times we say, well, if you're just walking with Jesus, you should be happy. You know? It's just you should have that big smile on your face, and everything should be great for you because you've got Jesus on your side. Well, you know, they'll quote scriptures to you. There's a lot of scriptures they could use to support this. They say, well, Moses, in great faith, led the people out of, the house of bondage in Egypt. King David is a faithful king, and he led the people to win all those victories and expand the land and bring peace and prosperity. And even Jesus, didn't he heal a lot of people? They were sick. He healed them. I mean, surely, if we have faith like Jesus, we'll get those things. What happens, I think, is we kind of get this, if you will, either-or thinking. Like, it's got to be all one thing or all another thing. And that's where the theology of glory trips, because the truth is God has blessings for us. Maybe God has a healing for you. Maybe there's some joy. I hope you find some joy in being a Christian. But what we want to say is that's not all there is. There's this other side. And it's and when we get caught up on one side, it's like we're going to start to discount or minimize or even ignore or avoid the fact that, you know what, this life we got, even as Christians at times, is really tough. It costs us. It's not fun. and that God is somehow still present in that. It's not an either or, it's really about this kind of sense, it's a both and. So there is both the good things from God's hands, the blessings and all the positive things God has for us, as well as in this crazy and troubling world, bad things that come our way, sometimes with no explanation or no reason. We don't get it. But that God is present in all those things. That's the truth of it. Well, when I was in my last parish, I was getting ready for a funeral, and I went in, and we had a substitute organist going to play for us. And so this funeral was going to get going, and so we had this conversation there in the sanctuary. He took a break from playing the organ. We started talking. And what he told me is, you know, Pastor, we don't have funerals at our church. I said, oh, okay. We have celebrations of life. And what we focus on is on the resurrection. Now, there's nothing wrong with celebrating someone's life. The resurrection is really good news for us. The problem is, what happens if you're out there at a funeral, and this funeral, you are twisted in knots because of your grief. And this death, the sense of death is hanging all over you. What do you want? Just someone to say, oh, what a wonderful life he had. And boy, the resurrection's going to be his. I mean, that's true. But wouldn't it be better if we added something about, you know, God's with you even though you're knotted in your guts. God is with you even though this is really bad and you feel these losses so heavy on you and death seems like this dark door that you can't get through. And somebody helped you with what we call being beneath the cross and walked with you there. Not just there. Of course we want to say, this person, celebrate their life. And surely Jesus is raised from the dead and that gives us this great hope and we don't want to miss that either. But it's a both and. It's never just one without the other. So as people beneath the cross, one of the things I think is key gleanings from that comes up in our Philippians text. And it's really about beneath the cross is this really, if you will, kind of this place of humble humility and service. Paul wrote to the church there, he said, do nothing from a selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. And he goes on to say, this was the example we had in Jesus. Who didn't think his equality with God was something to be exploited, was something he was going to use for his own benefit in this world, that something that would make him better and above other people. No, he said, rather he laid his life down humbly, even to death on the cross. And what I understand for us to be humble isn't to be groveling or something like that. It's rather to see, I think it comes from that sense of humility in the right place, comes from seeing who we are honestly, looking at reality, that we're limited. We don't have all gifts and abilities, that we're flawed at times. We make mistakes, we say things we shouldn't say, and that finally our lives return to dust and ashes. And you know, when you see that, you say, you know what? I'm a lot like other people. You know, they may have more money or better health or, you know, more happiness or whatever else. But finally, those things bring us together. There are ways, you know, that the hard stuff of life allows us to be open and walk together. You think of it, if you have someone going on, well, look at all what I got here and how great this is for me there, that there's almost a distancing effect to hearing that, isn't there? You don't feel close to a person like that. He'll feel close to the person who has the same struggles, knows the same problems you know. It draws us in. And so the scripture that it brings to mind is that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The humble are open. They're ready to be, it's a place of being open to God and open to other people and caring about them. You know, when Jesus did lay his life down on the cross, I mean, it was this act of not weakness, but of great faith. Faith that somehow in the torturous horror of the cross, that God was going to hold him. when all the things were going wrong and it just seemed like this life was crushing him, God would hold him. And that, in fact, we'll take it another step, that God would use him for the good of other people. That he, being up there, would be a sign for us of what sacrificial love looks like, a sign for us that God would hold us, that a sign for us that there is a way through death to life. And so today we gather, if you will, as we will this season, beneath the cross of Jesus. And it's a place of humility. And so we put that on our foreheads, trusting that God will hold us through the worst of everything, shape of the cross, even when it comes to our time to return to dust and ashes. God has us, as he has his Son. Amen.